It's a blessing to be home. Sister Suzanne and myself were gone last week. We were gone for 8 days, and it's always great to be back in the state of Texas. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's great to be back in any state if you're there, but it's certainly a blessing to get home. And we'd intended to be gone a day longer, but, you know, you stay in motels long enough and you drive far enough, you get about enough of it, or at least we did. So we came home a day early and give up going to see her great uncle. But we are very thankful for God's blessing and safe travel, a safe return. We were able to go see Shane and Colton and Matt and Becca Hoggywalks in North Dakota. Shane and Colton are here today. They flew home, and they may be leaving before services are over. They've got a flight at 1 o'clock back to Bismarck. So we are very thankful for God's everlasting mercy, for his goodness in our life, and for the blessing that they're able to come and be down here for a few days. You know, there's an old saying, no place is like home. And the longer you make a place your home, the more that saying means to you. So it's good to be home. It's good to be among the Lord's people and to understand that we're always blessed when we're in the house of the Lord and among God's people. Thankful for the prayer this morning that was offered up on our behalf and for the song service. And I'd ask that if it be God's will and you have a desire that you would continue to pray for this service, that we'd be attentive to the teaching of God's word, and that it certainly might be a blessing to each and every one of us. I've had many thoughts on my mind the last few days, and I've struggled to actually pinpoint one thought, but, you know, we live in a difficult time in this country, and a lot of things have changed. Most of you are aware of the changes that's taken place in the last few weeks. It's things that have come to pass. But honestly, there's nothing new under the sun. This is just the things that have come before us at a different time and in a different age. And that doesn't make light of these difficulties, but understand it's not new. Sin is sin, and we're all sinners in need of God's glory. We've all fallen short, and you know, there are sins that rise up from time to time, may become the popular sin of the day, but many sins that are spoken of in God's word have become an everyday practice to such a point that nobody gives them any thought. In other words, they've become a way of life. And this has been a problem that the children of Israel had. It's a problem that God's children today, they represented God's chosen people who are out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people up on the earth. And so these problems that existed in times past are existing today, and I'm not making light of the situation or circumstances that we have, but, you know, I begin to think about each and every one of us. You know, commend you for continuing to come to the house of the Lord and hopefully continuing to pray, and I thought, you know, even when there's a small number, whether it be in the church or whether it be of yourself, I've thought, is it possible for you and I to make a difference? And I believe it really is. You know, sometimes we may not feel that way. We might be discouraged, but can you and I make a difference in this world in which we live? I certainly believe we can, but I believe until we understand that what we need to be different is found in the Word of God, and we study the Word of God in such a way as to apply it to our heart, I'm not sure that we can make a difference. See, I believe the main problem in the country we live in today and throughout the history of God's Word is God's children have lost their focus from time to time. I believe that's what's happened today and in the times in which we live. Our focus has become on something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But when our focus is upon ourselves, upon our family members, our spouse, our children, the world, I mean, we can focus on many, many things in this life. When we lose that focus, we lose our ability to make a difference in this world, I believe. We don't stand out. We don't seem to be any different than anyone else. You know, life is not about us. I know a lot of people would be surprised to hear about that, but life is about Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, as we begin, before we get into the message of God's love for, or at least one portion of it, we begin in the Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. If we can grasp the Word of God in such a way that we can honestly make the statement that the Apostle Paul made, whether I die or whether I'm living, I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus that I have from day to day is on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so easy in the world that we live in to focus upon our jobs, upon our family, upon ourselves. You know, it's been a problem throughout the ages. It's nothing new today, and we have a tendency to drift in that direction just as God's people have over and over throughout the Word of God. But we find here that Paul's focus was upon the Lord. There was a time his focus was not upon the Lord, but he said, whether I die or whether I'm living, it is my desire to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in my body. The question is, can you and I make that same statement? No matter where we're at, is our focus upon the Lord? If we want to make a difference in this world, we can make a difference. You might think, well, little old me can't make a difference. I can't change anything. We have a great tendency in our life to do just that. But you can, when you live your life for Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is the focus of your life, not just on Sunday morning. It's so easy to get prepared to go to church and prepare to serve the Lord during the day of Sunday and to scoot him aside during the week. Where is our focus, really? Paul said, whether I live or die, I want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in my body. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I believe that if we understand the Word of God and we really want to make a difference in the world in which we live, regardless of the circumstances that you and I are facing today, you know, there's no doubt that the morals of this country have declined. No doubt at all. There's no doubt that things are not like you and I would like for them to be. I can't honestly say they're any worse today than they ever were, because if you read the history of God, you'll find that those problems have existed over and over. Now, it may be that through communications and through newspapers and through every kind of social avenue that we have, that these things are more aware to us than they was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But regardless of that, sin is sin. In the Word of God, it tells us what is unrighteous and what is righteous. But is our focus upon Jesus Christ? You know, life is just not about us. It was about Him. It's not about how well you and I behaved or how well you and I can perform. It's about Jesus Christ and what He done for you and I. That's all it's about, because in a matter of days, you and I will pass from this life. We won't be here anymore. We're like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. Life is really not about us. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's hard to stay focused in a world that is tugging at your shoulders day in and day out, asking for your time here, there, and yonder. It's hard to wake up every morning and have this central focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what life is really all about, because we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. We're here but a moment. Our time on this earth is like a watch in the night, and it's over. And yet, sometimes we have the great ability, as God's people has over and over, to lose our focus. He says, but I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, I know that when I die, I'm going to gain something far better than this life has to offer. You know, that applies to each and every one of us, whether we want to pass from this life or not. When you die, regardless of your age, it's going to be far better, and you're going to have gain in your life. That's unquestionable according to the Word of God. It doesn't matter how good you enjoy life, how many things you're getting to do. It won't compare to the gain that will come to you when you die. But Paul made a statement here that I thought about for a little while. He said, it is more needful for me to continue to live in the flesh. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's where we ought to be in this life. Can we honestly say, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Are we living for Christ? Are we magnifying Christ in our body? You know, I read an author, many books, several books of an author named Timothy Keller. He's a Presbyterian pastor in New York City. And he has a book called Counterfeit Gods. And he made a statement that the human heart is an idol factory. In other words, it always has been. And we know that's a fact because the first commandment that God gave on Mount Sinai to Moses was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Unfortunately, a lot of times the God that we have in our life is ourself. We think about the idea that we don't have statues and we don't have graven images. But you know, the Bible teaches us that anything in our heart before the Lord is an idol. It takes away our focus from God, and that's always been the problem. It began in the garden when the serpent, the devil himself, told Eve that, you know, that if she would eat of the forbidden fruit, that she would be like gods, knowing good and evil. Man has always wanted to be his own God and make his own way and determine what's right for himself. But God is perfect in all his ways and righteous in all his ways, and he teaches us to put our focus upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we're going to be like Christ, if we have any of that desire in us, within us, then it's going to come by studying God's Word. We're told in the Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, you know, that means we've got to study God's Word. Do you want to be like the Lord? Do you want to forgive people the way the Lord forgave them? Do you want to love people the way the Lord loved them? Do you want to talk to people with the same kindness that the Lord talked to them with? It can only come by attaining knowledge. And that knowledge can only come by the study and the reading of God's Word. I believe there's a problem among God's people of applying this book, the most important book that was ever written. It teaches us about life and how we should deal with things in life and the error of our ways and how we should treat folks and how we should handle circumstances and situations that come our way, because we're all going to have troubles. We're all going to have times of rejoicing. And the Bible is filled with explanations and teachings about life. It's the most important book that you'd ever have in your possession. But if we don't read it and we don't make it a daily part of our life, there's not a whole lot of benefit to the Word of God. Do we want to make a difference in this world? Little old me, little old I, us who are few in number? I believe it happens when we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, when we learn to forgive folks the way he forgave folks. No, he didn't put it in his back pocket and say, you know, I'm going to let that go for now, but I'll bring it up and remember it in the days to come. Thankfully, God's not that way. He put our sins away as far as the east is from the west. He's a God who is forgiving, a God who is loving with an unconditional love, and we'll speak about that here in a few minutes. But when you and I can pattern our life, or at least to some degree, to a higher degree, after the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I will be able to make a difference in this world, an unbelievable difference. You know, the love of God is a powerful thing. It really is. But the question is, do we manifest that love? We must learn about the Lord if we're going to be anything like the Lord. If we're going to follow the Lord in our steps, in our paths, in the way of life, we must know what Jesus teaches us to do. You know, let's think about some words over in Hosea chapter 4. Do you think it's important to read your Bible? You know, oftentimes in the days gone by, and now that I try to proclaim the Word of God, I probably read it a lot more than I did when I wasn't. But it's so easy to set God's Word aside and think about, I need to read it, I need to study the situation and the circumstances of my life. You know, that this book is not given to us for the purpose of making war with other of God's children. You know what I'm saying? It's here for our learning, that we might glorify God. Now, in Hosea chapter 4, it says in the first verse, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Now, I don't believe we're to that extent yet, but is it possible we're headed in that direction? Knowledge is a valuable thing. When Peter said, grow, but grow in grace, divine influence, that means you become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living Word, the divine influence of the triune Godhead. He came for one purpose, to deliver us from the penalty of sin that you and I are justly condemned by God's holy and righteous law. We've been justly condemned, and we know what we deserve. But it says here that they had no knowledge of God in the land. I'm not going to spend a long time, but notice in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, if we want to know what is unrighteous and what is righteous, what honored God and what glorifies God, if we don't read His Word and we don't study it, we're going to have any excuses. We're not going to make a difference in this world, and we shouldn't expect to. The most important book ever given to us in this world is a book that we need to read and study. If Jesus Christ is going to be the focus of your life, then you need to read and study God's Word. If you don't, He's not going to be the focus of your life. We can talk about that all day, but we're going to find that the focus becomes ourselves, it becomes someone else, it becomes some circumstance or something in this life, which honestly the Bible teaches us is an idol. If you want to make a difference in this world, even the world that you and I live in today, our focus has to be upon Jesus Christ. This life was never about us. It was about Him. It was about what He done for us, about what He accomplished for us. It's never been about what you and I could accomplish. It's never been about how good you and I could behave. But our behavior is not very good. It was never about our ability to perform. It was about His performance. It was about what He done for you and I. Life is about Jesus Christ. Sadly to say, I've spent much of my life not looking at that in that light. Life was about what I wanted to do. Life was about where I wanted to go. Life was about what I wanted to accomplish. But soon life is over. It's really not about that, whether you realize it or not. It's about Him, the one who died in your stead, in your place, and saved you, that one day you're going to live in eternity where you'll never suffer the troubles and the trials, the afflictions, the difficulties that we pray about every Sunday morning in this life. It's about Jesus Christ. And we lose our focus. It's hard to stay focused in such a fast-paced life, is it not? We got so many things going around us. The noise is great out there in the world. And to separate yourself from the noise and focus upon the Lord, it's not easy. I'm not here to tell you that it is. But if you want to make a difference in this life, you need to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, I don't believe you can grow in divine influence, that you can become more like Him, unless you decide one day you're going to study His Word and you're going to find out how He was, how He is, how He lived and walked upon this earth, and what He tells us that we ought to do if we want to be more like Him. We're not going to wake up some Sunday morning or Monday morning or Tuesday morning and be like the Lord Jesus Christ unless we're willing to study, to read His Word, to understand the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that saved us and delivered us from the penalty of sin, the punishment of sin, that we might have that great hope of living with Him. Knowledge is important, but we don't just wake up with it. We hear a little bit about it preached, but really if we're going to study the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to gain any knowledge of Him, it's got to be a focus in our daily lives. Because it's so hard to focus upon the Lord when we're focused upon ourselves and what we want and where we're going and what we'd like to have and everything else that comes across the slate. You know, it's not that you can't have some of those things. It's that our focus needs to be upon the Lord. Now, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, I think one of the greatest things that comes to mind to me is the love that Jesus had for His people. The love of God, the greatest thing that we've ever known. You know, if we can ever get any kind of grip on how much God loved us, it's going to change our lives. It's going to make a difference in how we live our lives here on the earth. You know, He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31:3, Jeremiah said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Listen to that. There was not a time in all of eternity that God did not love Jeremiah. Not a time. Do you know that if you're among God's elect, there's not a time in eternity past or eternity future or any other time that God has not loved you? And I mean, He's loved you with a tremendous love. His love was not based on your ability to behave right or your ability to perform up to a certain standard. He loved you in spite of your sins, in spite of your bad behavior, in spite of your inability to perform. It's not about our performance. It never has been and it never will be. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about making Him Lord of your life. Making Him everyday Lord of your life. Understanding how Jesus would handle situations and circumstances. And following the example and the pattern that He's left for us here in this life. You know, the only reason He drew Jeremiah to Himself was because He had loved him with an everlasting love and nothing else. It wasn't based upon Jeremiah's ability to behave correctly, to perform to a certain standard. You know, He made that clear in Romans chapter 9 too when He said, "For Jacob, as it is written, for Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. For the children not being born yet, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth." You see, God didn't choose Jacob because he was going to behave better or perform better. Actually, he behaved worse than Esau. That's hard for us to digest, isn't it? We always think that we are going to get something because we perform better or behave better. But you know, none of us could behave good enough or perform good enough that God would say, you belong in heaven based upon your own. Not a one of us. We're going to go to heaven based upon God's amazing grace, God's amazing love. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 6 or Romans chapter 5, in verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God's love supersedes all our sins, all our bad behavior. Do you know that you're not going to be cast out of heaven because you didn't perform up to a certain standard? Because you didn't behave correctly? Oh, a lot of folks will say, if I believe such a thing as that, then I just go live any way I want. But when you study and you have knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're not wanting to go out and sin against Him. You're wanting to live and become more like Him. Notice what it says in verse 1 of chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid." God forbid. When we study God's Word and we embrace the teachings of Jesus Christ and we focus upon Him every day of our life, we want to be more like Him and less like we've been. We want to forgive people and love people, speak to people the way Jesus Christ spoke to folks when He lived and walked upon this earth. That should be our goal every day. It can make a vast difference in the life that we live here upon the earth. God's love is an amazing thing. It supersedes all the bad activity you and I have in our life, our thoughts, our actions. Now, there is a part of God's love called chastening that really tells us how much God loves us, and we'll try to speak on that in just a moment if we have time. But God's love is an amazing thing. Now, I want to make a point. We believe that God's love was unconditional, meaning that your hope of living in heaven had nothing to do with your behavior or your performance or anything else that you could do. It was based entirely upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He accomplished what you and I could never accomplish. He finished what you and I could not even start. And because of what He done and what He finished, we're going to live with Him in glory one day. This is how amazing God's love is. "But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, there are folks in the world, there are Christian people that I love dearly. It'll tell you that God loved all mankind, every one of Adam's race. And they'll even go as far as telling you that He loved them unconditionally. Stick with me. But what they will tell you is, their hope of heaven is based upon their response to this universal love and this unconditional love. If they respond correctly, then they'll be in heaven. But I'm here to tell you that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. There's a time, the Bible says, that the wicked shall be separated from God, cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Notice in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, "For I am persuaded," Paul said, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I tell you, if God loved you from everlasting to everlasting, Paul says you cannot be separated from God. But the Bible tells us that the wicked will be separated, to live throughout all eternity, cast into the lake of fire, to suffer God's eternal wrath and punishment forever. God couldn't possibly have loved all people that were ever born. Because if he did, there are going to be people cast into the lake of fire that God loved with an everlasting love. That's a weak God. That's not the God that you and I serve. God loved his people with an everlasting love. And it was not based upon your ability to perform or behave. So many people think, well, then why am I here? What difference do I make? We were put here for one purpose, to honor and glorify God. Do you know when I spoke of the 10 lepers, and I'm not going over there as I begin this morning, they were all cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but only one of them, the Samaritan. See, they were lepers, separated from society, separated from their family, separated from their friends, because this was a highly infectious disease. I'm telling you, you and I got a highly infectious disease called sin. We have it, every one of us, and it's terminal. And if the Lord didn't come and do something about it, we'd all be separated from God. Those 10 were cleansed, but only one of them turned around and gave God the glory. He wasn't cleansed anymore. He recognized God's hand in his life, and he gave God glory for it. The other 10 were just as cleansed, and they're going to spend their life in heaven. But you know, we were created for God's glory, to honor God, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is about him, and when we come to understand it, if we really ever embrace that life is about him and not about us, it'll make all the difference in the world. You'll be able to love folks in a way that you've never loved them. You know, for John, 3rd chapter, 1st John, in the first verse says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." When you come to understand God's love for you, when you come to understand what he's delivered you from and what a blessing that is, it can make a great difference in your life and how you love other folks, how you forgive other folks. Jesus, did he forgive you because you were so forgivable? He forgave us while we were yet enemies of the cross. He loved us before we'd ever done one good deed in his name. Our good deeds in his name never got us to heaven, never got anyone to heaven. And never will. But we are created for God's glory, that we might honor him and live for his name, that we might be a light that shines in a dark place. I've said this many times when I preached, no matter how bright your light shines, you're just like the stars of heaven, and we are. Darkness surrounds us day in and day out. You can go out in the night, you can pick out the brightest star in the heavens, and you may shine upon this earth just like that brightest star, but you're still surrounded by darkness. When your light shines, when your light truly shines, it gives glory and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You're living for him and not living for yourself. When you put the Lord Jesus Christ first, yourself doesn't matter. Others don't matter. That doesn't mean you don't do for others. When you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. There's many ways that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, by serving our brothers and sisters, by fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. But God's love is an amazing thing. You know, it is God's love that enables us. It enables us to love folks that we don't think we can love. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Oh, how hard it is to love our enemies. Sometimes the enemies are in the church, and that's sad to say, but sometimes it is. Sometimes they're in our families. That's sad to say also. But honestly, We make enemies out of folks we oughtn't to ever make enemies out of sometimes. But Jesus said, when you learn about me, when I become the major influence in your life and the focus of your life, when you're not out looking at this world and the things you're doing in this world and everything else is not more important to you in this world than me, he says, you learn about me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The people of the Lord were destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. You know, we live in a time now, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5, where there are a lot of woes given. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Are we not living in such a day? When sin is no longer viewed as sin? We do what we want to do? God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. As God's children evolve in a society or in a generation, oftentimes that happens. They even forget what sin really is. You know, the law was brought in that we might recognize how sinful that we are. That was the purpose of the law. We couldn't keep it. But I'll tell you one thing. We know how great a sinners we are because of it. And how much that we needed a Savior. God's love is an amazing thing. Love your enemies. Most of us don't believe we can love our enemies. But you know, we were enemies to God, were we not? We were enemies to Christ, and He loved us. Bless them that curse you. Did you know God blessed us when we cursed Him? Do you know that Jesus Christ blessed you and I when we were a curse unto Him? Do good unto them that hate you. We hated Him. We didn't want anything to do with Him. And He still loved us. Pray for them that use you, persecute you, and despitefully use you. Jesus prayed for us. Go to the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Jesus prayed for His people. He prays for you now. Jesus is a great blessing in our life. And He needs to be the focus of our life. The hope in our life. It's so easy to focus upon ourselves and the noise that surrounds us day in and day out. And there's a lot of noise in the world in which we live today. A lot of noise. I think about the everlasting love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us when we were no longer a thought, or we had never been a thought. And when we pass away, we're no longer a thought. He's always loved us. In spite of our inability to worship Him the way that we should, to serve Him day in and day out the way that we should, His love has never changed. I think about David when he committed the sin of adultery and he committed murder. And Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Yet God's love never changed for David. He continuously loved David with an everlasting love. You see, God punishes us for the sin that we commit, but His love never changes for us. You know, there is some misrepresentation and some confusion among many of God's people out in the world. They preach that God is love, and they preach that God lets any and everything slide. God doesn't turn a deaf eye, a deaf ear, and a blind eye to sin. One of the greatest evidences that God loves you is that He chastens you. You know, there are many characteristics or qualities of God's love. One of them is He gave. He gave the best that He had. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. When we embrace Jesus Christ and when we truly focus upon Him, we ought to give our best every day in service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave you His best to secure your hope in heaven one day. He gave the best that He had, His perfect, sinless Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will live there for no other reason than that He died and shed His blood, and that your sins were nailed to the cross when they nailed His hands and feet to the cross. He paid for your sins. He suffered the eternal wrath and punishment of God for every sin that you committed in the past, in the present, and you ever will commit in the future. You're going to enter into heaven as someone who is perfect, because no being will go to heaven that's not perfect. but it's because you've been made perfect by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. We were made righteous by his work, by his finished work, because he loved you with such an everlasting love. It's an overwhelming love. It's a love that I cannot explain. We stray away. We continue to sin. You know, I wish that when we were born again of the Spirit of God and we joined the church that we no longer sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. Sometimes our sins transition from things, from one sin to the next sin, and we don't believe those sins are quite as bad. You know, sometimes when we attend church, we become respecters of persons or we get caught up in the sin of pride, but it still took the blood, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for that sin. No matter how, what category you put it into, Jesus had to die for it. Shed his precious blood if you're to be forgiven and enter into heaven. You see, Hebrews 10 says that by the blood of bulls and goats, it would never make the comers hereunto perfect. You had to be made perfect. And because Jesus loved you and I so much, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Forever. So as we consider the amazing love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to consider that God gave his best. That ought to encourage each of us to give our best in service unto the Lord. You know, another great attribute of God's love is his mercy. We were not saved by, as I said, by our behavior, our performance, but by the mercy of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. The amazing grace and the amazing love of Almighty God, the greatest thing that we've ever known, is going to deliver us from this body of death. We're going to be delivered to live with the Lord forever and ever. You can make a difference in this world. You really can. By focusing on Jesus Christ, by loving folks the way Jesus loved folks, by forgiving folks the way Jesus forgave them, by shedding mercy upon folks the way Jesus shed mercy upon you and I. He is a God who is rich in mercy. His storehouse never runs out. His compassions and his mercies are new every day. Aren't you thankful? We're not consumed because of God's mercy. We're saved by mercy, not by behavior, not by works, not by anything else. Mercy is part of God's amazing love. Giving is part of God's amazing love. And I want to take a few verses, and there's so much to be said on this subject. But you know, some people preach and teach that God loves you so much that he turns his eye away from the sins that you commit, and it's okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receives. Think about that for a minute. You know, one of the greatest blessings and evidence that you can have in your life is that God chastens you. Could you ever stood up and said one of the greatest blessings I had in my life was when my dad gave me a good whipping? You know, most of us don't want a whipping when we're a kid. Oftentimes we can look back in life and we can recognize that the punishment that we received from our parents was one of the greatest blessings that we ever had in our life. And the reason we understand that is they chastened us out of love. They corrected us because they loved us enough to do it. And that's what God does in our lives. He corrects every one of his sons. Notice what it says in the fifth verse. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, don't take it harsh. Count it a blessing. You know, it's hard to run out and say, thank God he's punished me for doing wrong. But I tell you what, God loves you enough that when you stray far enough away, he has no problem with correcting you. You know, when you go over to Job chapter 21, I believe one of the saddest verses in the Bible is, the rod of God is not upon the wicked. There are people out there whom God did not love. Those who are associated with Esau, Edomites, those who are not God's elect. The rod of God is not upon them. They are reserved to the day of destruction and to the day of God's wrath, as Job 21 says. How sad it is not to be chastened of God, not to be corrected or punished of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. It's a blessing. It's an attribute of God's love. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. All of God's children are going to be a partaker in God's chastening rod at some point in their life. He says, then you are bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. You don't belong to me. We don't like to be chastened. We don't like to be punished. But it's a great blessing. It's part of God's amazing love. He loves you enough that he's not going to let you go too far out there in this world without drawing you back. And it may be a difficult way to come back, but thank God that he did. It's a blessing in your life that God deals with you as a son. You are his son. You belong to him. He paid for your sins. You're going to live with him throughout all eternity. This is just part of God's amazing love. He shed mercy upon your sin-sick soul. You cursed him. You didn't do good. You hated him. You didn't pray for him. We persecuted him. We were his enemies, and yet he loved us. And when we come to understand that, God will bless us to be able to love those who curse us, who hate us, who persecute us. You can make a difference in this world, a big difference. It's not easy to do, but if your focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe we can get there. And I believe that's the only way we can get there. Because the Lord said his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And when Peter said we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I believe there's only one way to do that. It's to make a conscious effort daily to study the Lord Jesus Christ, to study his ways, his truths. You know, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we want to show our love to the Lord, we'll do the best we can to keep his commandments and to follow in his paths. That's an expression of love that will bring glory and honor to the Lord every day of our life. Do the right thing. Serve him in the best way that you know how. Make him the focus of your daily life. And you can be a light that makes a difference in this world. May God bless us to be those lights as we continue in a country that is declining, that is not quite like we'd like it to be, that is not what we remembered or not what we've read about when we read about the founding of this country and our forefathers. But friends, God is upon the throne. He rules and he reigns, and there's no problem bigger than our God. Our God is bigger than all our problems, than our nation's problems. And I believe we can make a difference in this world if we just will. But we got to focus upon the Lord. We can't let the things and the noise, whatever that noise might be the focus of our life. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ, because life is not about us, it's about him.